There we go, Drew. I like it. Thank you very much for that right there. We are live in St. Joe thanks to Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. If you missed our conversation with Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, we'll bring that back at 1:35. We asked him, of course, about his rookie campaign. Also, something he was very happy to talk about, he picked up golf. Thinking of golf, he picked up golf in the offseason. He told us how he's doing. Drew, I think, was somewhat impressed by
I was already picked up golf.
So we'll get to that in just a bit. But Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is joining us. He's back in studio. Vern, this next 5-6 days is going to be really, really interesting, not only for the standings and a series against the Guardians, but how much do you think this stretch impacts what they do at the deadline? Or is that more just a, hey, we're acting like this 6 games is actually going to change how they operate?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't think it would change how they operate, especially with the one piece that they have, talking about Seth Lugo. You have 103 games of evidence of who this team is, what this offense is, what this group is as far as on the bases, defensively, and most of those things come back that they are a below-average ball club. Listen, if the Royals win all 6 of these games and find themselves 3 games above 500, you know, you've already seen some of the national reporters who, of course, are being fed this by the Royals. You're already seeing some of them come out and say, hey, the Royals would have no issue throwing the franchise tag on Seth Lugo coming up this offseason, which, or qualifying offer, I should say. Yeah, talking baseball here.
I knew what you meant, yeah.
Qualifying offer is going to be more than $21 million next season. I think that's a fair price for Seth Lugo, but I think he could get multiple years on the open market. I don't know if he would get more than 50, but if he did, the Royals would get a second-round pick out of it. To me, that right now is the... That's how I'm judging things if I'm J.J. Piccolo. First of all, I want other general managers. I want other organizations to think that I believe in this team still. Because if you call me to prize Seth Lugo away from this ball club, you're also trying to get me to admit to both my owner and the fans that we're done. Because as everyone can clearly see, if you take Seth Lugo from this team with Michael Lorenzen on the shelf and Cole Reagans on the shelf, it's over. This team can't recover from it. They might be able to flirt with 500, possibly, but even that likely not going to happen. So if you trade Seth Lugo, you're waving the white flag on the season. So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, I want other general managers to know that coming in. If you come at me trying to get Seth Lugo, you better come correct with something that can help this team, maybe not vie for a 500 record this season, but someone that can help this team win the division next year. So can I get one of those outfield bats from the Chicago Cubs? Somebody that can hit the ball over the fence in 2026. I'll pull the trigger on that for Seth Lugo. But if the offers come in and none of them impress me as much as a possible second round pick, no, I'll hang on to Seth Lugo. But I'll be floored if the deadline coming up on Thursday, deadline drives deals, I have to imagine the price tag will exceed a second round pick prior to July 31st. So regardless of what happens over the next 6 games, I still believe that Seth Lugo must be moved. Outside of that, you could take all these guys to the deadline, talking about a Carlos Estevez, Angel Zerpa, John Schreiber, Steven Cruz, take your pick of the relievers. I'm fine taking any of them to the deadline, but Lugo's the only one that I'll be disappointed if he's still on the team in a week.
What's your appetite for pairing Lugo with the deals that are being pitched over at the Athletic? So you pair Lugo, you give up one of your better prospects, and then get a guy like Duran in an effort to put a guy on the field immediately who has put up big, big league numbers at least once.
All for it. Yeah, I'd trade Blake Mitchell, Ramon Ramirez, link him up with Seth Lugo. I'd do that for Jaron Duran, no question about it. You look at his numbers for the past 3 seasons, I know his offense is down slightly this year, but he's still better than a league average hitter. He's an electric factory that you could plug at the top of your lineup. And the Duran, Bobby, Mike, Hell, 1-2-3. Not many ball clubs outside of Los Angeles are able to bring that type of dynamic five-tool talent at you in the 1-2 spots in the lineup. So, yeah, I would do that. And again, his numbers might be down slightly this season, but there's also been quite a bit going on in Boston that could easily, maybe not take his attention away from what matters most, but could, be a distraction, right? Knowing that all of a sudden I go from the All-Star Game MVP and one of the faces of this Boston franchise to a guy that's expendable, I can understand a slight regression this season from the outstanding 5-tool talent that is Jaren Duren. I'd be all about that.
Vern, he genuinely feels like the type of player I feel like the Royals try to draft every year in the first round. Like, this is the exact player they attempt to draft and develop every time in the last 15 years in their history.
Yeah, without question. And if you look throughout this organization right now, and really if you look around Major League Baseball, man, it's tough to develop talent, period. But the Royals have developed some young pitching talent. They have some young hitting talent. But the next wave, to me, of real talent outside of Carter Jensen are the pitchers you have down in A-ball. So, help offensively doesn't appear on the way within the organization. I mean, the guys that you drafted last week are at least 3 years away, a pair of prep bats. So, unless you want to spend this offseason in free agency, and shoot, even if you make this deal, you still likely need to do that. But, Jaren Duren, Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Vinny, and Jack Caglione heading into 26. You felt good about the core coming into this season, and I think you would feel even better about the core next season.
Josh Furner, our Royals insider, joining us here on Cody and Gold. MJ Melendez back up from AAA. Nick Lofton goes to the concussion list. Do you think this is a short stint, or do you think he will be up, unless he's part of a trade, I guess, do you think MJ Melendez will be up the rest of the season now?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. You look at that bench right now, and it doesn't instill much confidence that this is a playoff roster. Luke Maley continues to hold down a roster spot that I think that has more to do with. I think it has to do with the presence that he brings in the clubhouse. You watch the way that this guy works, the dugout during a game, the conversations change in the clubhouse and in the dugout when Luke Maley's around. It's a higher class of baseball conversation when he's around. Now, much like the need for Adam Frazier, I don't think it's a great reflection of what's going on inside that clubhouse right now. For as much as we all remember the Raul Labania speech back in 2014, that 2014 team hadn't done anything, right? They didn't have really any veterans that have been to the postseason outside of James Shields. Jeremy Guthrie had been around for a while, but that's about it. Everybody in this clubhouse has been to the postseason before, and while fans are screaming about Mac Cutrero and, oh, I want my manager to show more passion, 2015, that with all due respect to Ned Yost, that team wasn't led by its manager. No, it was led by Shields and then Hosmer and Salvi and the leaders inside that clubhouse. So for as much as people want to gripe about the at times laconic skipper of this team, if you want to see passion, it's got to come from the players. It needs to come from inside that clubhouse. And that, to me, is how desperate they are for it, that they bring in an Adam Frazier, that they keep Luke Maley on this roster for the time being. But, no, when push comes to shove, again, and this is why it was so disappointing and maybe for some surprising when they sent down MJ Melendez, is because you don't have anybody else that has that potential. For people that have been screaming about Jack Caglione and maybe he needs to go to Omaha, okay. The issue for this team is they don't hit home runs. Massey, Melendez, and Renfro were expected to hit bombs this year. They hit three. Caglione has power. You need power. MJ has power. And if this team's going to get on some sort of a run down the stretch, they're going to need the big flies, right? That's how they won these games on the road, and that's how they're going to win moving forward. They don't hit home runs at home. And if they're going to turn this thing around down the stretch, they need to start. And we've seen MJ hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium. Let's hope we see him hit a lot more.
Vern, do you think that there's part of the team that's making it difficult on the pitching decision end? Like, what do we do with Lorenzen? What do we do with Lugo? Not knowing how healthy they can count on Cole Reagans being in the future? I feel like some of these things are held up in this world where you're like, how much do we trust he's going to be a part of the rotation for sure next year, right? when you're trying to make a decision about which way to go on some of these names.
Like, are you're concerned about Reagan's next year?
Yeah, like, are they thinking about that, I guess, in the long-term sense to be like, well, I mean, you know, there's a chance we could get Lugo back or what, you know, like, just now that he has been injured for them versus before
he just came in
and he was healthy for you.
Yeah, certainly. You know, a shoulder injury, rotator cuff, yeah, that's obviously cause for concern. But to me, the Seth Lugo about to turn 36 when you still have two more years of Michael Wacha, I just don't know how sound of an investment that is, especially with the emergence of Noah Cameron. So, you know, the uncertainty, if there is long-term uncertainty, and I haven't heard that when it comes to Reagan's, but, you know, if there is, there is no way to truly offset that, but you still feel good next year about possibly Bubich, Cameron, Michael Wacha. That's a pretty strong 1-2-3, and yeah, I'm fully expecting a healthy Cole Reagan's. So Seth Lugo, to me, looks like... looks the same as Brady Singer did a season ago, right? One of them has to go, Bubich or Lugo. You're not bringing both of them back next season. And, you know, Bubich is a different conversation. You know, that's likely an off-season move, much like Brady Singer was.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think the injury to Cole Reagan's has them thinking differently about Lugo nor Lorenzen long-term. Both could be back, sure, but I don't think it's directly tied to Cole Reagan's in 2026 just yet.
Ver, maybe you can answer this. I don't know if the rumors are true that are out there, but is Bink doing post-game Saturday night so you can go to the Flo Rida concert at the K, or is that not true?
No, Bink is going to the Flo Rida concert.
okay,
and he said he's going to miss
post-game
show. Bink
is going to be at Flo Rida?
Yeah. Bink's big into Flo Rida. And I do find it funny is all the advertising for that concert is T-Pain.
Yeah.
Like they don't ever play Flo Rida rapping. It's always T-Pain and those very catchy hooks, which is, you know, if you're going to the concert, it's going to be like going to the club, basically, because it's dancing to T-Pain and then listening to someone scream into a microphone. I mean, I can't believe that Flo Rida puts on that good of a show. You tell me T-Pain's going to be there, and I'm there. Flo Rida on his own, listen to the post-game show.
It's so funny, like, the different ones I've seen over the years there, because Gold said he went to one for...
Ice, Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice.
Ice, baby, Vanilla Ice.
And I saw Lauryn Hill there one year. It's like, it's a really, really mixed bag there, Vern.
It is strange, and then... Now, maybe I've only... been to big Chiefs games lately, but the concerts they have on like the drum deck are better than the ones that they have at Kauffman Stadium.
It's the same tier, I would say. Yeah, I would say it's very similar tier. Whoever, like, I'm guessing Flo Rida has been doing like Vanilla Ice.
Lil Jon turned out Arrowhead from the drum deck in the postseason a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did.
True. I do know Vanilla Ice did a bunch of baseball stadiums the year they did that. My guess is Flo Rida is doing the same. So
for
I don't
sure.
know if it's
Shaq
some company
last year.
Some company sends out a pitch during spring training to all the big league clubs and promotions company, and they all, you know what? Yeah, we'll check this box. We'll have them this year too.
Yeah, I wonder where that tier stands. Right, like Arrowhead's number one. You know, Taylor Swift,
sure.
Sprint Center's two is. Is that Kauffman? Because it's not Billy Joel's Kauffman Stadium concert. It's Royals Guardians as two teams below 500 try to convince themselves they're still in the race. Where does that rank? Is that better than
better
one of
than
the outdoor?
Sandstone?
Yeah, is it better than Sandstone?
I don't think so.
And there's a brand new facility that they're building out in Riverside too. I think it looks amazing, but I don't know, man. That's true. It's a little bit further down. I saw Flo Rida is also at the Missouri State Fair this year, like 3 weeks after.
Not great. If you're playing Sedalia, you got.
Well,
I'd rather watch.
I'd rather go to that than the Kauffman Stadium one.
Because
if you're kicking
you can,
it in Sedalia, and all of a sudden Flo Rida shows up, hey, that's something.
Vibes.
At least I got some funnel cakes and. So I guess I can get that at the K, too.
Vern, I was trying to decide if it's worth the expense. We're going to be in Vegas, obviously, for our trip out to Circa for contest week, and Backstreet Boys are playing the Sphere, and I was trying to think about it.
I've heard that if you have a chance to do anything at the Sphere, do it. So
I know.
I would say go for it.
And it's the Backstreet Boys can be fun. Now, tickets are a little pricey. We're talking about $400 to get in, just to get in. Yeah.
Gold, you should. I don't know if you're still single, but that's got to be a hotbed. For
Backstreet Boys? That's true. That's a good call.
I mean, especially for, I'm a little bit older, but especially my age.
Yeah.
Man. Stay away from it,
Mrs.
Cody.
There,
actually,
you know?
Cody, stay away from it.
That's a dangerous setup for anybody else. Because
they're all drinking, and they all think that they're 18 still. And
they all feel, they're all just like sloppy. Back into the boy band. They're like, oh, I'm 19 again. You're
right.
Like, no.
You know what's perfect, though, Vern? The concert's on a Friday night. As far as we're concerned, after about 2 o'clock Vegas time Friday, our obligations work-wise are over. So
burn it down.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, Gold doesn't want to risk another elevator incident with me, I don't think, in Vegas, you know?
That's fair.
By
the way, I say it's the first time I put anything on Instagram that we were going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see.
if we
get a message or at least a like on the story.
You never know. She still follow you?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
She's about to find out. Gold's about to be in Vegas again.
Oh boy!
All right, our residency.
Vern, appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
All right, appreciate it. Viva Cody and Gold.
That's our Royals insider, Josh Vern. Your off day today, but kind enough to come on the show. Obviously, he's back in studio, and then his on deck show tomorrow night as the Royals open up a series against the Guardians.
Seriously, come out and see us though in Las Vegas. We're going to be there as part of our continued partnership with Circa for contest week. So whether you're entering the Survivor Pool or you're thinking about entering the Pick'em contest, it's the biggest prizes in the world for those things, which means August 20th we'll head out on August 20th and we'll be out there Gold will be there mostly through the Saturday. We'll be doing our show live from Circa Resort. It's going to be an awesome time.
August 21st through the 23rd is officially the ultimate contest weekend at Circa Resort. And as you said, man, you sign up for either contest, you can be part of contest weekend. There's a meet and greet party. There's a stadium swim open bar if you enter the contest those days. There's an open bar for anybody. We met a couple listeners there last year. So hope to see some of you out there. If you already are going to be betting on the NFL season, why wouldn't you just sign up for the contest? Because you're going to be guaranteed, if you sign up for the picks contest at Circa, you're guaranteed to make 5 picks a week. So, yeah, you say $1,000, like, okay, that's $1,000 for the entire football season. There's a lot of you that I know bet way more than that.
And there's quarterly
the
prizes.
Season. Yeah, you had a chance to play. You could have a bad 0-4 start, 0-4 start, and still find a way to make money later on in the contest as well. Versus Survivor, which is a ton of fun. Obviously, that one's a winner take all kind of thing. So that's a ton
of
fun.
You get down deep. That one is fun.
That one gets dicey.
You got to be in Vegas to enter, but you don't have to be in Vegas to play.
Correct.
So like you got to go out there with us at Circa to put your name in the hat. But once you're there, you obviously don't have to continue to be there in order to play.
Guys, I don't know if you saw the text message, but I think the text line is right as it pertains to your trip to Vegas, particularly for Alex Gold. There's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure.
Well, it goes to the Backstreet Boy concert there is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Vegas is a good time, man. I enjoy myself some Vegas. You know that.
Somebody says, hearing Denny Matthews talk about Flo Rida on the broadcast sounds like he's speaking a foreign language.
Oh, I'm sure.
I love it, though. I kind of love when, like, the guys who've been around baseball forever talk about, like, young people stuff-ish. And Flo Rida's not even that, right? He was just like, you know, he probably remembers
Flo
some of the stuff.
Rida.
But Flo Rida, serious voice, I love it. I absolutely love it.
What did you make, though, what Vern was saying about just the next couple of days? Like, I'm with him that I don't the Royals weekend series against the Guardians, it's significant for playoff chances and all that. But in terms of the trade deadline, I don't think they should change whatever path they think they're headed down. I don't believe that's changing based on the series against the Guardians. Even though I get why,
I guess if they went 3-0 and then 3-0 against the Braves,
but is that false hope at that point though?
It might be, but at that point, I guarantee you they talk themselves in. For a team that has not given up at any point this year, if they go 6-0 in the next 6 games and are sitting 3 games below .500 and 2 games out of a playoff spot, that'd be the most likely they'd ever have been to buying a rental at any point this year. Genuinely, outside the first 2 weeks, it might be a mistake.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake.
I'm just telling you where I think they'd be.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake only because we all know next offseason they need outfield help. Duh. And if I have a chance to trade away a guy that's gone after the end of the season, most likely, for that bat in the outfield that has multiple years of control, that sets you up better for the future. Now, to Vern's point, look, if Duran's really not available for Lugo and a prospect, and you're stuck getting some guy that you're not too fond of and another system as a prospect, you don't want to play that game, and you'll just do the qualifying offer for Seth Lugo, I would understand that. But if truly Duran is available for what the reports say it would take, that trade is one I think you have to make.
Yes.
But there's a chance that trade is not actually there. Also, let's keep that in mind.
There's no player in the minor league system that is not available to me for Duran. He has 3 years of control after this one. He is a true five-tool player, which is the only thing the Royals ever talk about in draft and development, is speedy guys who can lead the league in triples last year, lead the league in doubles last year, mm-hmm. have 20-plus stolen bases and play a corner outfield position, clearly your weakest at the major league level, and I would argue your weakest in the entire minor league system. So you'd buy yourself all of these years. Honestly, that's the one you should be actively fighting for. Hey, I know you want Lugo. Here he is. Here's Blake Mitchell to shore up your catching or whoever the hell it is you want. I don't care if it's one of the A-ball pitchers. I don't care if it's Carter. You know, like, there almost isn't a name I would take in order to do it, because that's the only player, Gold, that I think right now, unless there's some name I'm not thinking of.
Yeah.
The only player I've seen mentioned that I think could be a wash as far as team performance the rest of the year, too. That in what you lose in Seth Lugo from performance, you might get back in having Duran in the lineup every day, which means you're no worse than you are this year, and you can immediately look to 2026 and solving problems. He's the only guy I've seen mentioned that might be a total wash talent-wise for what you're getting in this year's season, in addition to the three additional years of control. I'll bide my time to figure out the minor league system. I'll try to juice it up with some of – I might trade a Stevez, or I might, you know, I might take a double-A player, right? I might figure that part out and adjust accordingly, but, yeah, I'd be all over that trade. I would love that trade if they made it.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, including an update on Justin Fields, the Jets quarterback who did leave practice today on a cart due to a toe injury. We got a little more detail on that. We'll also bring back our interview with Xavier Worthy, Chiefs wide receiver. He joined us exclusively earlier today, talked about the hobby he picked up in the offseason, and also what's year two look like for him.
What's trending?
What's trending is that we continue to broadcast live in St. Joe. Training camp coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app. Find a location near you. We're back at it again tomorrow here along with the Chiefs. And earlier today we had Xavier Worthy join us. He's going to have that conversation come up in about 5 minutes or so. We'll bring that back to you. But the highlights today, look, the same left tackle, right tackle, first team rep situation with Jalen Moore at right tackle, Josh Simmons at left tackle. We did also see, yet again, Rashee Rice, the main focus in this offense. In terms of some other names that continue to kind of pop up a little bit, I'll say once again, Tyquan Thornton getting plenty of opportunities. And then in the backfield, it's the rotation right now. We kind of suspected it's Pacheco, it's Hunt, then Mitchell, then the rookie, Breshard Smith.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals off today back in Kansas City after their series win in Chicago against the Cubs. Vinny had two homers in the game yesterday. Tyler Tolbert got his first career home run, and I'm assuming by accident, the Cubs fan threw it back, so didn't even have to negotiate for his first home run ball. Probably didn't even realize.
That's what they do in Chicago. They always throw it back.
Yeah, but convenient for a guy hitting his first career home run. They return home tomorrow night to take on the Guardians. That game will be right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. If you're looking for it on TV, it'll also be on Apple TV's Friday Night Baseball.
News a couple hours ago, we mentioned on the show, Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71, one of the most iconic wrestlers, pop culture figures of the last 30 to 50 years. According to TMZ, he suffered and went into cardiac arrest this morning in his home and was pronounced deceased, obviously, short time later at the hospital. But he's definitely somebody that is been everywhere, not just wrestling movies.
One of the most iconic pop culture figures of all time.
All kinds of avenues, I guess, I would say, to grow wrestling. Obviously, in the last 10 years or so, he's ventured away from that as well.
Complicated legacy.
For sure, for sure. But just 71 years old.
Next up on Watch Trending, Eli Drinkwitz gets an extension to remain the Missouri Tigers head coach through the 2029 season. Obviously, Drinkwitz has done an okay job, I'd say, at the Missouri Tigers job. They have recruited crazy good during his run. We just keep waiting to find out if the results are going to match the recruiting. Obviously, being in the SEC makes a recruiting game a little bit easier. But the Tigers like the job he's doing enough to give him an extension through 2029.
Some other news, according to John Rothstein, Houston will no longer be the host school for the South region of the NCAA tournament next year. You're like, why does this matter? Well, when you're the host, that means you're not eligible to play the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight at, like, your, you know, the Toyota, basically at the home venue. Well, now they will be eligible. So this is a smart move. Like, if you think Houston's going to be one of the top 10 top seeds next year, they could potentially play Sweet 16 games at the Rockets Arena, which is Toyota Center, and they're not the host anymore. So you can't do both. And now they'll be able to play there.
Clever,
smart move.
Clever.
Kevin Simpson, smart move.
Next up on What Trending, we get an update on Justin Fields, who reported that he was carted off the field. Now, I would just say a little lesson in media literacy for anybody who's recently covering. Riding in a cart up the field is different than being carted off a field. Justin Fields has suffered a dislocated toe, but by all reports, will not miss extended time.
Day-to-day.
Jets, day-to-day, is what they call it with the dislocated toe. So take that thing up,
crisis
get your
averted.
Ass back out there.
Crisis averted. For about 30 minutes, it was like, well, call up Kirk Cousins.
Uh-huh.
See what you got. Luckily, that is not the case. Their quarterback room right now is Justin Fields, Brady Cook, and
speaking of Tigers.
Tyrod Taylor and
Tyrod,
Adrian Martinez, the former Nebraska Cornhusker and Kansas State Wild.
Where did Tyrod play? Now we mentioned everyone else's college.
Tyrod played at Virginia Tech.
Va Tech.
That's right. I saw this stat briefly. There has not been a Nebraska quarterback to throw a pass in the NFL since 1987. Somebody quote tweeted that Adrian Martinez was in the room.
I guess.
And
Eric
I was like,
Crouch
it's been that
never,
long.
Yeah, I guess Eric Crouch.
No wonder they've been a terrible college
That's
football
crazy.
Program. Not terrible, but they've been so much worse than
maybe
expected.
Dylan Raiola can actually
That's
end
right. That's
draft.
Right. That's true. That is very, very true. Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget, coming up on August 8th, we will be out at Hollywood Casino here in the KCK area, obviously, as we take over. Cody and Gold
Drew's
plus the Drive will be broadcasting live from
That's right.
the Sportsbook there. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenihue football plus a pair of Chiefs-Colts tickets. All you got to do, be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Enter their giveaway, which is on August 7th, for a chance to win $100 pin cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's our fan football takeover day at Hollywood Casino.
How long are you guys going to be hanging out afterwards?
August 8th.
I don't know.
Because I'm going to be
Let's
here.
Let's get a part-timer to fill in for you, then you just come hang out with us all day, you know?
I mean, I'd be down for that.
Like, I could drive five minutes and be there.
Yeah. I could walk
but
over
like
there.
That.
That's right. I could be down for that.
Yeah, man. How about this? We're going to be in a 17-day period, we're going to be doing shows from casinos. I love two different casinos.
Great. In different states. Yeah.
There you go. All right. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, I mentioned Xavier Worthy joined us. Each and every day at camp, we have a player that stops by exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. And our player interviews on Cody and Gold are brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro. And by St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. That's STJOMO. com. We started our conversation joking about the weather a little bit because we got rained on during practice briefly, but it's cooled things off. And as I say that, it's starting to pour right this second. But we started our convo with Xavier Worthy about that very thing.
Oh, yeah, the weather feels good right now. It just feels good to be out here and play some football.
I got to ask, though, you're like one of three players that are wearing pants, though, out there. For our listeners, there's no pads or anything yet, but no shorts? Was there a story behind this?
No. I'm just a track guy, so, you know, we wear sweats to keep the legs warm, keep them fresh.
Fair That's enough.
What, yeah, my guess was like maybe he just runs cold, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he just likes to keep you warm even when it's 100?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess you're wearing pants during the season too. So
Texas, Kansas City, I guess you're used to the heat, huh?
Come on, man, you already know it.
Speaking of Texas, we were curious just because as you get out of college and you're now a pro, how close do you still pay attention to what the alma mater's doing? Like, do you get in the same thing like, hey, how's Arch looking? Do you text guys? How close attention do you pay to it?
I still got some guys on the team, but a lot of my guys are now in the league, so we just kind of keep in contact. We talk a lot of trash to each other. So some of us are going to be playing each other, so we talk a lot of trash too.
Is there a lot of that in the club or in the locker room as well with you guys, as far as like Texas versus Bama versus Oklahoma, whatever? Right? Is there a lot of that like college allegiance trash talk during the football season when it starts?
When the season comes, say we play each other that week, it's a little rivalry, a little friendly bitch. We got to wear the jersey if we lose or stuff like that.
Is that the worst punishment you've had for a bit like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
You're like, don't remind me.
I didn't want to talk
Texas,
about it.
Texas, Georgia, or
it's
whatever.
It's a new year.
Fair enough. Now, also, were you happy, though, with the way the combine went down? All the talk about, I think it was Isaiah Bond, the 40-yard dash and all that. And then you're still the guy when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, it's all good, man. I mean, lessons learned.
Do you get – yes, this sounds – you get like a trophy for that? Do they hand you something like fastest guy in the history of the combine?
Nah.
You get a little plaque made up? Nah, or just something you wear in your chest?
Just bragging rights. It's just bragging rights, man.
When you look outside of, like, just the normal results of the season, you obviously had statistically a very good Super Bowl and a very good playoff run. How hard is it to be like, okay, I still did some really good things in those things, but, you know, balance that with the disappointment of the results of the final game?
Right. I feel like as a competitor, you gotta hate losing more than you love winning. So as the competitor in me, just I took the loss, but I had a great Super Bowl. So it's just more of a building stature. So I just need to build off of what I did.
That feels like a way like Mahomes approaches it. He hates losing more than he enjoys like this part of it.
100%. I can't even even after wins, I feel like I don't even celebrate. After a loss, I'm more of like in a down mood. So it's like it has more of an effect on you than winning.
Talking to Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy here on 96.5 The Fan. What's the next step look like for you? As Cody mentioned, statistically and everything we saw you build up as the year went on. Clearly, you got more comfortable in the offense. They trusted you more as well. What's the next step for you, you think?
Right, just building that rapport, building that connection. We started building our rapport connection later on in the season, and I feel like we're just going to keep stacking on it.
What about the deep passes? That was a huge talking point, obviously, early in the season, and whether it was spatial awareness, things like that. How do you, I guess, get better at that? Because at camp last year, we saw plenty. We've seen it at camp this year, but in the regular season, maybe it wasn't fully there yet for you guys.
Right, just a lot of miscues and just executing from the miscues. I feel like if we hit those, we're having a different conversation right now. So just hitting the opportunities when they're there and when we got them.
As the season went on last year, your depth per target, the team's depth per target went down. Were you guys making, I guess, an intentional effort to say, hey, let's just do the small things right, get down the field, and then we'll take care of it in the red zone? As it became clear, maybe some of those miscues were going to continue throughout?
Right. I mean, it was just more of an understanding, like, things aren't working, so you got to adapt. If something's not working, you got to change your game plan, change your format. So we just did what was working, and it worked out for us.
People always talk about the difficulty of Andy Reid's his playbook and learning the offense and all the other stuff. It doesn't seem like, I mean, you obviously, your statistics are significantly better in the second half of the season as you guys continue to grow. Do you feel like any part of that was just like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do now, versus like, you know, how long it takes to maybe pick up on what you're supposed to do at the NFL level?
Right, exactly. It's more of a, you can understand a playbook. I understood the playbook 100% at the beginning of the year, but it's more of like a understanding the game, more of anything. Like understanding that, oh, they're going to run this coverage, so I need to run this route like this and get friendly like this. So just understanding what the defenses are going to do.
Andy was talking about Jalen Royals a little bit and how it seems like he's picking up things pretty well. He said one of the things he notices is how smart he is already.
100%.
What are you seeing from Jalen Royals and some of the young guys that are in that room with you?
Right, a lot of them just like really smart and really into that. But all of us are showing good effort. All of us are really a team, and we're really bonded in the room. We're having celebrations, creating celebrations as a unit, just having fun out there.
I think you mentioned during OTAs that it's year two for you, but you said some of the guys are still treating you like a rookie. Is that still happening here in St. Joe, or is it now year two Xavier Worthy?
Hey, man, it's year two X, man.
When you look at, like, if there's one thing I know about, like, being a professional athlete on that end, you guys get a little bit of free time in the offseason. Did you pick up a new hobby?
Golf.
How are you shooting? Like, are you?
I'm in the 90s. Not too bad. I mean, it's been like what, a month? Not crazy, but I'm learning. I'm getting there.
Wait, so you're already golf? In the 90s and you've only been playing golf a month?
Yeah.
That's not fair. That for the rest of
professional athlete, easy to pick up another sport. Yeah. I guess.
Are you taking lessons or just getting out on the course?
I got at my country club in my house in Texas. I got like a guy that helps me like with my hands, my feet, my setup and stuff. So he helps me a little bit.
Who's good in the wide receiver room? Anybody else that can golf?
We got Hollywood getting on the golf. I don't know who all plays in the wide receiver room, though. But
on the team, is there anybody that?
We already know Pat, Trav. Those guys are good.
They let you out on the course with them yet?
No, I'm not going with them yet. I need to get good before I go with them.
Do you know what they're shooting these days?
Pat's probably in the 70s.
Okay.
Trav's probably like in the 70s, 80s. So I got to get good before I go over there. I ain't trying to go over there and just get blown out.
I don't know. I mean, those guys seem like they might like to put something on the course, too.
Yeah, I'm cool. That's all the way.
How far do you hit your driver?
Like 280, 285.
I mean,
not
again,
too bad.
No, that's pretty good.
Not too bad.
Again, for a brand-new golfer, I'm impressed. What were you doing in the previous offseason? Do you have hobbies before? You just said, I want to pick up something else.
I was just video. I play a lot of video games.
Okay. What'd you play?
Call of Duty, Madden, NCAA.
Okay.
Are you playing the new college football game?
Nah, it's trash. I got blown out the first week, and I was
so cool. Everybody's saying that this year, last year everybody's excited because we didn't have it for a decade, and now like, I didn't buy the game this year either. It feels like last year was the year, and everybody's kind of moved on.
It was cool for a comeback. Everybody wanted it to come back, but now it's a comeback, and now it's basically Madden just in college form.
You just missed it. You didn't get a chance to have your.
If I was on it, I'd be playing it.
You didn't get a chance to actually be in the college.
Yeah, that's why I'm probably mad. That's why I'm probably salty.
Isn't Texas like the number one team on the game? Am I wrong this
year?
We're the number one team in real life.
Do you feel good about them this year?
Oh, Natty.
So Arch, you're good with Arch. I know you didn't play with him, but like
saying it now. Arch for Heisman.
Okay.
Arch going to get the Heisman. Okay. You're saying they're going to win the national championship.
100%.
Before we let you get out of here, I also saw that you were working with a new foundation in the offseason. We like to ask about that too. Tell me about the Worthy Ones.
Man, it's just so my logo is like a W, but it's also two people and somebody in the middle. So the two people are helping that one person up. Like we're basically like just trying to help single parents or parents that are struggling, like help them like build something for their kids, help them show them a way or show them how to help their kids and support their kids in any type of way.
Were there foundations like that when you were a kid? Helped you out? Like, you know, like, because sometimes young guys don't get into the charitable game early, depends.
Right.
On what you kind of establish yourself.
Not where I'm from, it kind of was just like I had like my mom, so my mom was kind of like that person for me, so I want to just kind of show my mom, me and my mom kind of just want to show people like what we did and how we did it and how we could support any type of way.
Is she helping you with the foundation?
100%. She's like the main leader for it.
Okay. You got mom helping. That helps.
100%.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes out and ears out, obviously, for some things you got going on with the foundation. Appreciate
yes,
you coming
yes,
on the
sir.
Show, man. So that was Xavier Worthy with us a little bit earlier on today. Our player camp interviews brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. Your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. For the football side of things, everybody's expecting that leap. He acknowledged that, you know, it is true. You know, if three of those passes are caught deep down the field, maybe we aren't talking about the deep ball issues and everything like that. But that's, look.
We're also talking about his rookie season, probably different.
Totally.
For a guy who had 650 yards, if he was at 800.
For sure.
And a couple of those deep passes were but you didn't hit him.
You correct.
Know? Like, we don't get to talk about things.
You have to execute.
He had 17 games to find the deep passing game. And at one point, I think right after the time they got about halfway through the season, Rice was definitively out for the year. They were down to some options, and they couldn't find the deep passing game, and they settled down to being like, well, I guess we're throwing the ball 5 yards at a time every single snap and hoping. That's when I was like, well, we're not discussing the deep ball anymore. You guys aren't off a tick. You gave up on it.
Yeah.
So the question is, are you going to keep doing it this year?
Until they randomly just said, screw it, we're down by 30 points in the Super Bowl. We're just going to start chucking it deep, and it worked, you know, of course.
Correct. Yeah, they got some garbage time numbers that obviously had some people getting excited about.
Huge numbers in the Super Bowl.
The future. Did. I mean, for a rookie, didn't he have the most receiving yards by a rookie wide receiver in Super Bowl history?
I believe he had like 400 yards in the playoffs. I mean, he was like tremendous the entire run.
He was
run.
The man.
Drew, you have to like, though, he was working on the golf game. He's only been golfing for a month, and he's already shooting 90.
That was
again,
extremely impressive.
Again, when you just are a natural athlete, man, and you have a coach, he's going to – I bet you –
Dude, I know. But like Charles Barkley was a professional athlete. He can't swing a lick.
But Charles Barkley –
Charles is better now,
overall,
but yeah.
But in terms of overall athleticism, though, I mean, Xavier Worthy is a completely different athlete. Completely different, you know, athlete in terms of that. So, yeah, I'm sure if you can have lessons and you have some time in the offseason and you already are athletically, you know, gifted and everything like that, I bet you he'll be in the 80s here in no time.
Dude, I'm
going to
get stung again. There's a new wasp, Drew.
Well, you killed one, and it found its I don't know, mother that you killed earlier.
I'm getting that towel back. Hold on a second. I got to get something to kill this thing if
it
comes back.
It's already gone. It's already gone. Just wait till the show's. Oh, he left. He did, in fact, leave. And he is currently grabbing a towel. He killed a wasp, Drew, with a towel right before we got on the air today. And we thought we were good. But there's
fresh
one
off
that's
the bee
come
stings.
Back. We learned last year what happens is in these poles of the tent, there are little, like, I don't know,
they're hollow
openings, and the wasps have built nests inside of there. That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's tough.
Dude, all the bee stings on my legs still hurt, so I'm not taking any risk.
Yeah, get some aloe, some bug spray.
I
whatever,
put some stuff on it. It didn't seem like it helped. You know. I took an oatmeal bath or what?
Sure.
You know, is that what you're supposed to do?
Take an Epsom salt bath. You'll be all right.
Epsom salt? Is that for bee stings?
I thought that was
feels
I don't
for like
know.
Sore muscles or something. I don't feel like that's a bee sting.
I thought that was if like if your foot is really aching and stuff.
Yeah.
Cody?
Yeah, I just threw something out there.
I mean, that's
there.
A different game. That's not my issue right now. Mine is my many, many, many bee stings from yesterday.
It's true. You couldn't.
I ran over a nest.
There it is. People are saying you could have waited 2 more minutes, Cody.
No, I could not wait 2 more minutes. I'm not getting stung again today. And I'm going to take this head. I'm going to go try to
are
kill
you really? Oh, my goodness. Here he goes again.
Play by play.
Well, he looks like he's Crocodile Dundee slowly inching his way towards the barrier, and of course he scared it off. I wish I had this on video right now. He's like,
yeah, it seemed
moving his head,
after
like
it.
Bobbing and weaving, like trying to like.
Did you get it?
He did not get it. It flew away. He slammed the towel into the barricade, and of course, Cody's gonna break his hand trying to kill this.
I missed.
This wasp number two.
It took two shots.
Wasp number two.
Are you
not have? We do not have. We do not have time for wasp in this show. We have a minute or so left. Okay.
We do not have time to run wasp, which is just my version of whipping a towel towards it.
Someone says PETA is going to be very mad at you. Are you really killing them?
They're trying to kill me.
Well,
this is kill or be killed. I see him on the net. He's taunting me now.
To an extent,
he's up on the kicking net. Just hanging out, waiting
for
his moment.
Once we go off here in about a minute and a half or so, are you going to go and run 200 yards and time it out?
No, he's not.
Okay. It's death can wait till tomorrow. You can get a one-day
stay
of execution.
Someone said put some chew on it. It helps a lot.
You know my trick inside? If there's something inside you can't – Cody, bring some Windex and spray the hell out of it with Windex. It'll slow it down.
Okay.
And then you're good. You got to slow the wasp down first.
Okay, I don't hate the strategy. Mm-hmm. I'm not,
tomato juice bath people are recommending if your leg's bugging you from the sting.
I'm not taking a bath in tomato juice. Do you hear that? No.
But it works.
I'm not doing that.
If you want to feel better, then you should take the advice, I would say. But if it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, you want help or not?
I mean, I could take an oatmeal bath. I'm not getting a bunch of tomato juice and sitting in there tonight.
I mean, just seeing a bathtub full of tomato juice is
It kind of makes me feel a little sick thinking about just sitting in tomato juice.
I mean,
I'm on anti-tomato.
Oatmeal's a little worse consistency, I think, in that.
I know, but like an oatmeal bath's not just like I pour Quaker Oats.
I understand.
That's exactly what it is. That's what you do.
Yes.
It's not that.
Well, it's not like you're pouring some like Hunt's tomato. You're pouring some V8 in there. I don't know what you're doing for the tomato juice. Anyway, we are back here in St. Joe tomorrow. 10 a.m. broadcasting live from another Chiefs practice. We will have another member of the Chiefs join us for a one-on-one conversation. We will let you know as soon as we know who that is as well. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. The Drive with C.Dot and Rob coming up next.